Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Is Dom time. Watching the news conference this morning, I mean, you couldn't just have one signer. They had to tag another guy, and the signer got tired. They tagged in a man bun guy in L.A. And seeing these people all on the stage, don't you think the fire chief, after she makes her statement, ought to be out in the field rallying people, rallying the troops, getting the best sense of it? No! She knows she's DEI. She knows the whole operation is DEI. Why do anything like that? Stand there and pontificate. Look worried. Tell people we're getting more resources to do what with them? All right, so I am glad, and no one in the media should be able to corral people from pushing back to say, no, now is the time to call this for what it is, progressivism in action. Many times the stuff we talk about with progressives is silly, annoying. But always lurking there is they will get you killed. They will get you destroyed at so many different levels. YouTube alert, one I'll play you in a moment, is Karen Bass when she finally comes back, the mayor of L.A., to talk to the media. Great reporting. This reporter just goes through a litany of things that she hasn't answered for. And instead of answering them or saying, how dare you, I guess she could have done that, Karen Bass just stands there. It's an excruciating, you have to see it too. We'll do that in just a second. But I mentioned to Dawn a moment ago, this group, the Young Turks, all right? They're fairly well known, and they do hold themselves out. In fact, their mission is to reach, they say, the 60% of Americans that they believe have progressive views. Now, I don't know. They may qualify in one view here and there. I don't think 60% of Americans are progressive, though. The number could be relatively small, but they're good at taking over power. So one of them, Anna Kasparyan, I guess she's kind of the second in command. I don't see them as much anymore. They're fairly popular. She on Twitter responds to a progressive nonprofit blaming the water shortage in California, on a billionaire couple, some shadowy billionaire couple. And she writes, no, our mayor, who was in Ghana as fires exploded in our city, cut the fire budget by $17 million, endless amounts of money funneled to scammer homeless nonprofits, yet we still higher tax than ever. We have encampments and squalor everywhere. Even worse, we don't have enough firefighters to respond to this. And one of the reasons was the firefighters that were let go when they wouldn't get the COVID vax. And she goes on to say, rather than conserve the record rain we got last year, we just drained it into the ocean. We are a failing city run by a sick excuse for local government. You want to radicalize people against a modern Democratic Party? Send them to L.A. Now, their remedy probably is an all-time oxymoron. Competent progressivism probably is what they would say. I don't know that they don't see that these people are progressive, but Cenk Unger, who is the leader of this, has been someone critical of the Democrat Party and somewhat of progressives at times. I wouldn't call him a Fetterman, but he's been somewhat down that path. And this is just a shining example. So carefully, while giving due note to the destruction to the victims, we should be right now talking about what is the root cause of it. The other side says it's climate. They're always going to go to that. And I say, no, this is what screwed up progressives do. They don't have to make anything on merit. It's all based on DEI, particularly the fire chief, the mayor. The mayor is an outstanding. Why stay in Ghana? Well, it's all about racism. She was a delegate. Somebody inaugurated in Ghana. That's more important than running the second biggest city, particularly when there were all kinds of alerts on this. Is that blaming the victims? No. Do I think you're going to see these voters in L.A. suddenly toss out progressives? Not necessarily. So you got to continue to ask yourself, what is in it for people that vote for this? Well, their ideology, their worldview. For a while, they'll complain about it. They'll go, oh my God, the hydrants. Yeah, the L.A. mayor said the hydrants can't handle mass devastation. On Twitter, and to me, it looks very real, and I understand the reason why, because the water is not coming through enough through the hoses. You have L.A. firefighters filling up ladies' handbags. Well, L.A., they might be men's, I'm not sure. Handbags, and running to the fire to try to put out a house fire with them. And the only thing I could think of is there's not enough water pressure. It doesn't go through the hose because there's not enough water, so they're making do with the little bit they're able to pump and engage in it. I mean, firefighters running with handbags? They don't know shame. They don't know disgrace. And the media is trying to say, how dare you, while people are suffering, take a look at this. Our eyes on the ball now. It is a blame game. Absolutely. I blame every single one of them. I blame the whole mechanism, the whole thought mechanism. It leads to results like this. Every one of them is a screw up, up and down the line, including Gavin Newsom. Here's the Karen Bass, though, with this reporter, I believe, from Sky News. It goes on for about 2 minutes or so. And amazingly, she doesn't seem to answer anything other than doing a Biden and giving us a URL that doesn't exist if people want help, which is apropos of what this woman's all about. Here's how it sounded.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today?
YouTube.com/@12thandwphd.
Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Though. Are you considering your position?
Still no answer.
Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster?
You can see a little tinge of guilt in her face, I think. Do you see the guilt, or?
Well, like, I don't know about that.
No apology for them.
She's just not on her feet, able to answer it, so she just doesn't try.
Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
Still at the podium.
And she's now walking through the hallways.
Yeah, good job by that guy. He asked it in a respectful way, but a very pointed way. And she could have said, you know what, now's not the time for this, buddy. We'll get into this. I'm more concerned with it. Nothing. There is nothing here. So we have this age-old question. How do these people up and down the line, they crawl with this, not merit, but DEI? That's exactly what the whole thing is about. Well, because you still have substantial numbers of people who agree with this. Now, they get appalled when it all comes out. So what do they do next? They blame us for pointing it out, saying, have you no shame? They start to blame climate. They find something else. They find some billionaire couple. Remember, I just read you that one. Instead of looking at the root cause of this, yes, this could have been difficult to control, but it certainly should have been relatively controllable. They didn't remove the brush effectively. I'm looking at a program they spent over $5 billion on 5 years ago, and they haven't put it in operation yet in order to sluice the water from the snow into the reservoirs and have that if we have a major situation like this. Now, do I think Philadelphia is as bad? No, I don't think Sherelle Parker is like Karen Bass. But they're not exactly world class either. How many cities run by Democrats, progressive cities particularly, would be able to see this, be building up for it and deal with it? And the answer is almost none that I can think of.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Right now we have the video going, not the audio of the handbags, the fire. How ridiculous is that, Dom? Wow.
It appears to be to me true, too. I've seen nobody, because those look like firefighters. Now, speaking of firefighters, David Muir. I don't like David Muir even a little bit. You saw what he was really about during the debate. It was outrageous. Trump missed an opportunity. He should have gone right back at him on a couple of things rather than just meandering. Remember that debate? And I get it, when you're on TV, a lot of it is how you look, too. That's important. But if you're going to be standing there, as this guy does, Mr. Empathy, talking about that, and you have these clothespins on the back of your fake firefighter's jacket in order to cinch in your waist, and I think that's out of line. Yeah, you should put on makeup for this, fix your hair in the proper way. It is about how you look, but there's a line that's crossed. And when Muir turns to the side, you see the clothespins pulling this in so that it's more form-fitting. I think that's a little bit much. All right, let me give you the side question today, 855-839-1210. By the way, I got a story today that I saw last night, late last night, reading it. I hope you remember this later on in the show, because this is the big national story going on now. We have the former Girls High principal who was kicked out because she wanted proper decorum at the graduation, and certain students, rather than maintain, Girls High is the girls' school, even though it's going completely downhill. It's kind of like Central, which also went downhill. They were told no shouting, no mugging for the crowd when you walk up to get your diploma. And one girl started to dance across the stage. So this principal said, you're not getting your diplomas right here. She gave them to them later, and they kicked her out of Girls High for that. She's suing for racial discrimination. And she was discriminated against. She's white. She absolutely was discriminated against. She'll probably win $1 million or more. And the school district of Philadelphia would say, who cares? Taxpayers pay for that. But I'll give you the details. It made international news. It didn't happen in 24. It was a 23 graduation. But we'll get to that. The fire department saying January is fire hydrant testing time. Oh, God. What in the world are you able to come up with? Okay. Side question today. Today is the birthday. I'm not sure if he'd be 100 today. I'd have to go back and look at his age if he were alive. Would he be? No, maybe over 100. Richard Nixon. I read two or three books on Nixon. He's a fascinating character. Arguably, most people think the biggest intellectual as a president of anybody ever. So Nixon had a very distinctive style that was often mocked, and rightfully so. It wasn't
the unhappiest people of the world are those in the watering places, the international watering places, like the south coast of France and Newport and Palm Springs and Palm Beach, going to parties every night.
All right, that's from Futurama, right?
That's Richard Nixon.
Oh, it is? Yeah, wow. Yeah. I thought that was...
You want some Futurama, Richard Nixon?
Yeah, let's hear the Futurama.
Listen up, nitwits. Who here is tired of illegal space aliens taking our good Earth jobs?
Yeah! That sounds even more like Nixon as I remember it. Yeah, it's a better Nixon. Now, in studio with us is our own Jim Kelly, vocal impressionist extraordinaire. And the side question today, with Nixon, we had a million different Nixon's angles to think about. But that all-time, not just voice, but vocal style, voice and style as far as presentation that stands out. So I'm going to take off. I'm not going to do him today. I don't want to embarrass the real impressionist. But I think anybody can do Bill Clinton. It's a master of empathy. Bill Clinton is an all-time distinctive. It's the... I'm sorry. I thought it was 12:30. My mistake. Okay. All right. Bill O'Reilly's next, Jim. Just hold up right here. We'll go to the great Bill O'Reilly here on Talk Radio 1210. All right. Tom Giordano's show. It kind of slides into our question of the day. Richard Nixon's birthday, all-time vocal style is a side question. Well, how about the vocal style of one Bill O'Reilly? Bill joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Bill, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year, Dom. Thanks for having me back.
Was the O'Reilly style on air always that, Bill, or when you started, was it different?
Well, I was a reporter for many, many years, and I started 50 years ago. It's my 50th anniversary, July 2025. boy, I wish it were July. Freezing my butt off here. I'm sure it's cold in Philly, too. As a reporter, when I first started out, I was pretty dismal. Didn't really have a lot of style. And I was straight. I didn't inject my opinion or anything like that. But over the years, I became proficient at my craft. I was hired by CBS Channel 2 in New York as a local reporter, graduated to the network, and then later on worked at ABC with Peter Jennings. So my repertorial style was fairly straightforward. It was smooth. I can speak. I have that Irish blarney. I was blessed with it. And then I made the transition into commentary, first at the ABC affiliate in Boston, and then in the national realm with Fox News. And then I got brash, but I was always a brash guy. I just didn't use that part of my personality when reporting hard news.
Got it. Got it. Did you ever interview Richard Nixon?
Never did. Monica Crowley, who was his aide before he died, told me that Nixon was a big fan. But at that point, he was elderly, and I never really caught up with him. First president I ever spoke with was Gerald Ford, right after Nixon left office. And in the late 1970s, I caught up with him in Vail, Colorado, and had an extensive conversation with him. And then subsequently, I talked to every single president with the exception of Ronald Reagan. And I don't really know why our paths didn't cross, but they never did.
Well, that brings us to President Trump, Bill. And I'm wearing people out because of the credibility you have with me and with the American public. And the sort of relationship you have with Trump over the years, including you amuse him, apparently, you said this week, it triggered me when I saw that on News Nation. And when you talked about Trump asking you about being the greatest president, or at least a great president, I have really pegged optimism on that. We all know he goes off the trail. But if he continues on that, he will do great things in his second term. So where do we stand now with Trump?
Well, I had a three-hour meeting with him last Thursday, one week ago, in Mar-a-Lago, and it was an amazing window on history. I write about it on BillO'Reilly.com in my column, which anybody can access. You don't have to be a member or anything like that, called Trump Ascendant. He's very focused, more focused than I've ever seen him. and I've known him for 35 years, and he does want to be a Mount Rushmore kind of guy. And in order to do that, he's got to fulfill his campaign promises, and he has basically got to make the lives of all the American people better. There is a pathway, but it is not going to be easy. And the president is a bombastic style. It's not going to change. He thinks it works to his advantage by saying, hey, we may invade Panama or Greenland. He's not going to invade Panama or Greenland, and Canada is not going to be the 51st state. But he says all this to shake it up and to try to gain advantage in negotiations. We're going to report tonight, Dom, on the No Spin News. And again, you can access it on BillO'Reilly.com. It's all over the place. About how many billions of dollars, almost a trillion dollars a year, is in play for trade deficits against the USA. This has got to stop. It's got to stop. And Trump knows it. But in order to get it to stop, he's going to have to do some heavy-duty negotiating, which is a hammer and carrot situation. And so he starts off with the hammer.
Yeah, exactly. No, Bill, that is encouraging. Look, I agree with you. Panama Canal, Canada, trolling, either having some fun, doing something, negotiating. But I think he wants to buy Greenland. And isn't that something that probably got into his mind? What's remembered? Buying Alaska, things like that. Something that Americans did. Panama Canal. Is that his thinking on Greenland?
When I was visiting President Trump in Florida, I got to sit in on a cabinet meeting, which was an extraordinary window, both for a journalist and a historian. And he asked me about it. He asked me about, you know, I don't volunteer information to the president of the United States, no matter who he is or she may be upcoming, unless asked. I just don't do it. So he asked me about Greenland. I said, look, you can make a deal with King Frederick and his parliament over in Copenhagen, and you can get exactly what you want, and they'll do it because it's worthwhile for them to do it. They'll make a ton of money doing it. You don't have to say you're going to send Don Jr. and the special forces up there to take it over. In fact, there's a rumor that the Greenland people said, look, we'll give you anything you want if you just take Don Jr. home. So he can get his deals. But for Donald Trump, he I guess it amuses him to throw all these hand grenades. And it always has. He has always done that in his negotiations.
Now, Bill, wait a minute. You said cabinet. Do you mean he has the people that he's nominated there?
No. It was a cabinet meeting among advisors.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So sitting next to me was Miller, and then Lutnick was there, and a whole bunch of other guys. It was six guys in the room, and I walked in. I don't think they were all thrilled to see me. I know Stephen Miller pretty well. I don't think he was, you know.
Oh, no.
But the others.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter Navarro is looking at me like, how did this guy actually get on the grounds? Because I, you know, when I'm asked anything, Dom, you know this, because you know me many years. I mean, I'll tell you that I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear.
Exactly.
Ever. I'm going to give you an honest assessment and back it up.
Well, this is still encouraging, though, Bill. What you said, again, never say I'm more focused. We know the emotionality. We know he can get off on any other kind of thing. But he wants to be great, and if he realizes making this what he calls the golden age, here's the thing, though. Elon Musk, Bill, I don't know on your show or if you had some break over the holidays, but on my show and a couple shows here, that HB1 stuff with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, Trump's on the wrong side of that with the base. I'm not saying it's unforgivable, but they're looking at this, and they don't like it.
Small ball.
You think so?
It's small ball. It just, look, there are a million things like that that come up. And they're always rolled over and rolled over and rolled over. When they come up with a plan, then I will analyze it. I don't have time to analyze what might happen, what could happen, what Ramaswamy wants, what anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't. When Donald Trump gets behind something and says, this is what I'm going to try to do, then I come in. But I don't even pay attention. I got so much other stuff to pay attention to. You got hostages. I learned that 80% of them are dead. And Trump is going to get the remaining ones out. He will. I absolutely believe that. But I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with Xi and the collapsing China economy. I'm dealing with Putin and the ruble collapsing, which I brought to the attention of President Trump in that meeting. And I said, look, you got a huge advantage here, because the only thing keeping Vladimir Putin from being buried tomorrow is the generals that protect him, and they're being paid in rubles, and now they can't spend the money.
Absolutely.
So Putin's going to have to deal.
I haven't seen too much of this, but that's what you get at BillO'Reilly.com. How about on the book front right now? Are we in hiatus? What are you working on?
No, I mean, Confronting the Presidents, 17 weeks on the New York Times list, number 7. It's unbelievable. It's still number 7. And Cher, I'm angry at Cher because she's ahead of me. I'm going to have to talk to her. I am writing another book for next September. I'm not going to announce it until March, because if I announce it now, someone will steal the idea. And so I got to be careful about that, but it's going to be along the lines of the confronting. It's going to be another confronting book. And we're busy here for the new year, and I'm an old guy, as I said, 50 years in the business, my God. But, you know, we're still perking along. And, I'm going to be very zeroed in on the first year of the Trump administration. That will tell the tale. He's got 12 months. Because the other 3 years, then you get into all kinds of other stuff, looking out, forward this, forward that. This year is so vital for this country. And, you know, I'm giving Trump a fair chat, as I always do. I'm respectful. If the President of the United States asks me to come to where he is, I'm going to come, and I don't care who the President is. Biden could say, hey, come down to Rehoboth, we'll sit under the umbrella, and I'll go, okay. You know?
All right. Well, Bill, congratulations. 50 years. That's a great milestone. BillO'Reilly.com all the time. Bill, thank you. Happy New Year, too.
Okay, Dom, let's talk soon. Thanks for having me in.
All right, Bill O'Reilly here on Talk Radio 1210. Now, I peg a lot on that. You hear him 3 hours with President Trump and the advisors, the cabinet, and that Trump is much more buttoned up, much more focused this time around. I differ with him on the HB1 thing. I don't think it's small ball. I don't like what they're doing, what Elon Musk is doing, and how that went down. We'll see what they finally come out with. All right, phone lines to get in. Is Jim still around here, Henry, or no? Is he? Okay. Hit us with that all-time voice is what we're looking for, or vocal pattern. We played you Nixon. I'm going to take off the board. I mentioned Bill Clinton. Trump, of course, we never take that as an answer. But you know who has a great voice? Shut your eyes the next time around that you see her, if you watch on stream or if you see her on TV. Megyn Kelly, Henry, have you ever just shut your eyes, because you see her all the time, and just listen to Megyn Kelly's voice? It's incredible.
It is.
As a female authoritative voice.
It's a nice, you know, because everyone's always yelling or screaming doing something. The clips I record, and it's a nice break when I can record her voice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So in studio with us is Mimic Extraordinaire, Impressionist. He'll come where you are, just like Bill O'Reilly. Jim, how about a little Bill O'Reilly, since we just had O'Reilly here? He thinks he just has a normal pattern, that's not something that's kind of unusual.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You guys here on the Dom Giordano program, and it's an honor to be here, because as they say, thank you very much. Right now, welcome to The Factor. Tonight, we're going to talk about Ludacris and his Progressive commercial.
All right, so Jim Kelly, over these years, who's your favorite? Who's your all-time favorite?
I have to say my favorite would be Rush, but others would be a lot of Simpson characters probably are some of my favorites. Bob Pantano on our sister station is another favorite of mine.
I would have ran random.
What a random voice.
Yeah, but you know, we were in his way. We were in the same book at Newman. You know that, right? So let's hear Bob Pintano.
We've got a great time tonight right now. Saturday night dance party. Really good time as we play some great songs. Don't forget, we'll be at the beach bar tomorrow night. All right, great time right now. The great Dan Borowski playing those great songs. Yep. We'll be at the beach bar tomorrow night. We'll be at Kamitsky's on Saturday. And don't forget right now, stop off and see my buddy Aldo Lamberti, some car dealership, some food thing. And you do know what today is, right, Dan?
What's today?
Today is a very significant anniversary.
Here we go.
Anniversary of what?
You don't know that, Dan?
You don't know what the anniversary
is? I don't know where he's going with this. No, I genuinely...
Consider that as a side question. I was going to change it.
Today is my anniversary, guys.
Oh,
as,
really?
As I went to satellite radio, Robin.
First day, right?
I'm probably not going to... It's my first day on satellite radio where I was going to become a revolutionary. The revolution was going to begin. And I guarantee you, though, I'm not there today. Definitely not. I mean, it's Thursday.
Taking your anniversary off, huh?
I took my anniversary off. Yeah, I'm going to be off through January. I'm going to do what Jim Kelly. I'm going to steal this great idea. I'm going to go to sleep on April 2nd. And on January 2nd, Robin. I'm going to go to sleep, and then I'm going to go wake up on April 3rd. I stole that from Jim Kelly, Robin.
And your greatest segment ever, Howard. We all know what that was. 14 minutes attacking Dom
Giordano. Yeah, attacking Dom Giordano. But guess what, though? At least I got the name right. D-O-M.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Merle Reese.
Thank you, Dominic Giordano. It's an honor to be on your show, as always. And Jim Kelly, just when you thought you were out, they always pull you back in.
Thank you. Thank you, Merle.
Who's today brought to you by?
Who's today brought to you by, though? Yes.
It's brought to you by PNC Bank.
All right. Thank you. You don't do Mike Quick. Okay. Stick with Merle. That's enough. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for
thank
the appearance.
You. We've got a request to do Harry Callis. Do you do Harry Callis?
Yeah, Harry Callis?
No, never really done a Harry Callis.
How do you live in Philadelphia and you never took the time to do a Harry Callis?
I don't know, Dan. That's one of them.
That's not as distinctive.
I used to try to do a Dom Giordano impression, but it just never really, never happened.
Come on now, let's hear your try.
Yeah, just put a heavy South Philly accent. Yeah,
All right, well, here's Dom, because he's filled in everywhere else. So here's Dom. Hey, everybody, welcome in. Dom Giordano here at WOGL. A little different than what I'm used to. Pinch hitting for Angela Mason and Bob Pantano tonight. And don't forget, get in on this, the trip a day. And hey, it's Men at Work here on WOGL.
Men at Work. All right, thank you, Jim, very much. Bravo.
Did you do a music show at one point, Dom? Is that what he's alluding to?
No. If they asked me to fill in, though, WIP, there was talk at one point. Can you imagine the audience? Oh, man.
Since he's filled in on every other radio station that you could possibly imagine.
That's true.
Why not do a music show on WOGL?
Could you imagine Dom Jr. coming up next? We have Travis Scott.
Not enough talking there. You talk for 10 seconds and you wait for 3 hours. Yeah. All right, 855-839-1210. Henry, who's yours? Who's the distinctive voice?
I got two today. So I'm going to take off I relate with heavily, and that would be the legendary comedian Stephen Wright.
Ooh.
And his very monotone, dry...
It seems to come through you.
You hear it coming through the microphone.
You're a big Mitch Hedberg fan, too?
Yeah, he's good too, but I don't know. There's something about at least Mitch has energy when he's doing it. I like Stephen's I got food poisoning today.
Oh my gosh, you do them really
That's
well.
That's very well. I only know.
Wait, hold
a little
on.
Bit.
I got to hear this a little bit. Dude.
I got food poisoning today. Don't know when I'll use it yet.
It's a really good team right impression.
Yeah, and it's right in my wheelhouse.
Even got thumbs up from Jimmy over there. That's great.
Very good. Dan, how about yours?
I'm going to take another one that Jim can do off the board. How about some, because he's so controversial, he gets mentioned when we do distinct voices, Gilbert Gottfried.
He's deceased, but right?
Yeah.
I think he is.
Oh, are we doing living?
It lives on in the Affleck
commercials. It doesn't matter. Gilbert Gottfried really caused trouble when we were at the old building for the morning host center. It's no longer.
Do you have a Gilbert impression there, Jim?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Yes, I remember that. So you were in Tubauer. And you know what the great thing about Tubauer Plaza was? At least you could park in Tubauer Plaza. Here you're just driving around and driving around. Like, where's the parking at around here? There's nowhere to park.
Inside story. I don't know what he did. I wasn't there for that, but it was bad on the air. So, yeah, it's a guy you don't want to have on the air. All right, coming up.
hit us with your all-time great. It may not just be the voice. It may be this Henry. It's the whole delivery, like O'Reilly. It's the whole delivery. He doesn't even think he's doing it. I've been around O'Reilly just standing there talking, and it's the same thing. I've heard Merrill Reese on a golf course, and it's the same thing as if on the air. It's not just pumped up for the air. It's the same thing. Dan, who was yours again?
Gilbert Godfrey. I'll take Gilbert another Godfrey. One. Mentioned yeah. yesterday, we were talking about Meghan Markle's new show that she's doing, trying to be the next Julia Child. Jim, you do a Julia Child impression?
Afraid not, no.
Why don't you do one?
All right.
Is that Mickey Mouse or Julia
Child? It sounds more like Sesame Street. All right, here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. Hit us with that on the side question. Nixon's birthday, and Dan has gotten Roger Stone, who has Nixon tattooed on his back, a giant Nixon, among other things. And he'll be here to talk about Nixon, but also Trump, whom he's advised. You heard O'Reilly. Does that give you faith that Trump will follow through during this second term? Hey, looking to achieve your health goals, start the new year right. Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year savings. Rescue is celebrating, and you can save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements with the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use the code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with the code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best yet with Rescue. All right, it is Dom time. 855-839-1210. You get on board. A couple things about the fires in California. One, Mayor Bass, just a little while ago, said, well, you know, it's a perfect storm. Yeah, it is a perfect storm of progressivism. By that, she means, oh, no, it's a perfect storm of who could have seen this coming. They get wildfires all the time. They had these reports of severe wind coming with this. And you look at the infrastructure, how bad they are. It's not a perfect storm. Oh, nobody would have been able to anticipate or overcome this. The other is, any place like California where there's one party rule, but particularly with progressives, but even in places where Republicans are in charge and there's just no counterbalance, you're going to have trouble. That's a large part of the problem. I've told you, I've asked some of these people in Philadelphia that have gotten convicted, be it Shockavita, Seth Williams, his friend, and it seems like they were thinking, well, I'm fine with the Democrat chieftains in town. I can do whatever the hell I want. Right? You forgot about the feds. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what happens. As long as you're inside that, when it's one party, you don't have too much to worry about. But this devastation, and to see them today in this news conference, they're not out there inspiring anybody. Also, California had a big insurance crisis. A lot of it was canceled as this happened. State Farm, our buddy from State Farm, last time he was at the Sugar Bowl. I hope that guy's not bringing the game tonight. My God, just amazing. I wonder what he'd say about the fires in Pacific Palisades. All right, bonus points. If you attempt an impression of the person you're calling in about on the side question. All right. Richard Nixon, one of the most distinctive. When Dan played that, I thought that was Futurama, not Nixon. And what was the catch line? I was looking for it yesterday when he did laugh in. Sock it to me. I think Nixon actually said that, or they did it with him. The most awkward guy imaginable.
Sock it to me.
How did Nixon become president? Not once, twice. Two reasons. Brilliance beyond belief and determination second to not discipline, just to reach that goal. That's how he did it. Otherwise, how would this guy, particularly imagine sitting on stage, look at Richard Nixon with no makeup or bad makeup, 5 o'clock shadow. And who's he sitting on stage with? A tanned John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who I think arguably was the most handsome president, not even close, in history. You can't sit on stage with a guy like this. You're going to look incredibly bad. All right, let's go to John in Waterford. And John, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, John.
Hi, Dom. How you doing?
Good, John.
Okay. I when I was in high school, I had a certain teacher who had a unique, like, not so much his voice, but it was his speech pattern, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And, well, we used to know him as Mr. Giordano.
What was so different? I had the same speech pattern, John. What was different?
No, it's not like the way you put sentences together. I mean, the way you say phrases. That's what sounds so familiar.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. What year were you at Triton, John?
I graduated in 1982, so okay. I think that puts me in your classroom 79 to 80.
Yeah,
right?
You somewhere were around there. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I can tell he's one of your students. He said graduated.
Stop. Wait a minute. So, John, what are you doing now?
Actually, right now I'm a custodian in a different school.
Okay. Well, John,
I don't know if I can tell you.
That's okay. But thank you. Thanks for that recognition. I'm glad it stuck
That's awesome. What's the world?
Well, actually, because when I first started listening to you, I didn't make the connection. Because, I mean, to us, you weren't Dom. You were Mr. Giordano.
Right.
But then somebody that I went to school with said, yeah, you know that guy? That's you remember in high school? That's Mr. Giordano. And as soon as he said that, I picked up on like your speech.
So was he the teacher that everyone was afraid of, or was he the cool kid, the cool guy teacher?
Oh, no. He was a pretty cool teacher, honestly.
Yeah? Yeah, so he's talking himself up when he would, you know, say he was always angry and aggressive with the students.
I never said that.
No, he was kind of a pal teacher, you know.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you, John. I can definitely appreciate it very much. Happy New Year. Thank you, John. All right, put that guy to the head of the class.
Sorry, don't need to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, Joe of Columbus has a very good one, very distinctive pattern. The personality that comes through the voice, an original. And you just heard Bill O'Reilly, and he said, oh, I was kind of tepid when I was a reporter, that kind of thing. I'm telling you, it's not showbiz with O'Reilly when he's coming at you. Araldo has told me many times, that time they almost had to fight on there, he knew it. He was ready to go right at him. He's telling himself, I'm 6'5", I'm going to kill Bill O'Reilly right here. Distinct beyond belief. But Nixon, very underrated how distinctive that is. Robert in Bensalem on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert. Afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan. Good to talk to you guys today. Before I get to my side question, I want to just say it would be a good thing watching progressivism crash and burn, no pun intended. But what really kills me is the victims of it. I mean, if you think about it, Dom, between their approach to crime, their approach to public emergency, everything, I would say between 50 and 100,000 people have died or come close to dying because of Democrat policies over the last 4 years. And that's the tragic part out of it, as these people do their tap dance around it. But it looks like the reality is starting to catch up to them and the media as well. And it can't come soon enough, because the sooner they die, the sooner good people stop dying. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. And I think my only caution here is I'm not sure that Republicans have it within them. Trump has the secret sauce, all the stuff that he does, and he's broken through. You and I agree these things have always been there. Can we solidify it so after the Trump years, Republicans can continue to shine the light on this and people are going to see it? I hope so. In other words, I hope it's epiphany for people. I hope it's not just they're enamored with Trump particularly.
Well, there's one good thing that might spare us from that. I don't see another George H.W. Bush waiting in the wings when Trump goes to kill the Republican movement. Congratulate Scott, because I didn't get a chance to, for winning Caller of the Year. And also Joe from Columbus for making a hell of a run. You know, there's more people that voted in that thing than I've ever seen in these things. And I think that's a good thing.
It was incredible. You know what I mean? Yes. I'm going to have voter ID the next year. Come on, we're going to have a voting booth at the NAC. You're going to have to show up there to vote. That's what's going to happen.
Well, any time a profile is raised, there's always some shenanigans involved.
Exactly.
But the profile is still raised, right?
Absolutely.
My answer to the side question is, before I do the interview, before this with Cassius Clay, smack, I'm sorry, Muhammad Ali. I'm terrible on impressions, but I wanted to get this answer in before anybody else did. I got to go with Howard Cosell.
All-time great.
And I'm glad he held on to his toupee as long as he did. You guys have yourself a great day, all right?
Thank you. Cosell with Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. And Joe Frazier was taking it. Ali was working him over before a big fight. Then he called him ignorant, and Joe Frazier went nuts, and Cosell's toupee got knocked off. It was crazy. Pretty hard to knock it off. All right, 855-839-1210. More of your calls coming up at 2 o'clock. We're going to have Roger Stone, who is the biggest Nixon guy out there that I know of. And I'll ask him about Trump, whom he's advised. He's got some interesting Republicans. He's on Substack that he's calling out as rhinos still. So he'll be here at 2 o'clock. Your calls are next, though, on Talk Radio 1210. Dom Giordano show. Just looking online during the break. Here's an evacuated Pasadena resident telling various news media, we are sick and tired of having liberal political leadership play Russian roulette with all of our lives. I get the anger. I don't even think it's Russian roulette. They're completely loaded. They don't care. That's not their mission. And the number one job of anybody in these positions is what? To protect citizens. Next job is to make their lives more convenient and easier. They fail at every level. But I realize it's maddening. Driving that home, are we at a tipping point here? Or is it just Trump had the secret sauce and she's so bad, meaning Kamala Harris, that we were able to do this? By the way, no love lost. Dr. Jill Biden today. Oh, man. When Biden and Dr. Jill came in, the Harrises were already seated. And even CNN commentary, they are not even looking at each other. Yeah, that's probably a good move when you have to sit through a funeral of hours with all these people you despise there. Meanwhile, Obama and Trump were nudging each other and talking a lot. And Michelle Obama, apparently, I know she's in Hawaii. That's a long trip and all, but my God, doesn't show up for this. And here's why I've always resented Michelle Obama. Because Michelle Obama is the one that's held out by so many media types as the gold standard of civility and all the rest of it. How does she not show up at the funeral then? Doesn't have to be there, but doesn't. I don't know of any antagonism with Jimmy Carter. Just decided she wasn't going to inconvenience herself and go through that. She absolutely has a right to do that. I remember Rudy Giuliani, though, saying, you always have to show up at the funeral. You know, other things, it's nice if you show up. He said this around 9/11. All right, we'll take some more on that all-time, think distinctive, not just great voice, but something really distinctive in their style. Nixon had that, probably in a bad way. And I'm going to tell you, hopefully you remember some of this. It made international news. The other shoe has dropped. The former principal of Girls High, now suing the Philadelphia School District, where she's still a principal, for racial discrimination. All straight ahead, Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.